Brother David West has something in it. We're glad to have you. You can come on here and tell us whatever it is you didn't tell us this morning. There's a few things you wanted to tell us. You can get mean with it tonight. Your wife's not here. No, I'm just messing with you. Hey, that was great. Come on up here. Just take your time. Do whatever it is you want to do. Oh, here, I got this mic on. Let me put this mic on you. And all that business there, see?
Swap it over here.
Swap over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pull it right out of your stomach.
Pull that out right there. Wait, that's a button coming off it.
But I want to give it back.
You can turn that, no, the little box on. We got to turn it on.
Oh, I thought it was on already.
No. That should do it, huh? Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for having us here with us. We've had a great time. Again, thank you for the beautiful hotel. Y'all need senior pastor over there to stay a couple of nights. I recommend it highly. Very, very nice, chic, boutique hotel. We've had a great time. Thank you all for treating us so specially. And then a wonderful meal we had this afternoon at Clear Springs Cafe. Had a great time of fellowship and great time of feasting. And anyways, it's been a great day. Been a great time to be with you. That song just really spoke to my heart. I don't want to just live my life. There's so many people just living their life, going day after day, and when they die and stand before the Lord, they're going to have nothing to show for it. And so it's we need to find out what God wants us to do and then just do it. Of course, my heart is missions, and I'm always trying to recruit new missionaries. And everybody has their idea of what a missionary is, what a missionary does, who's the ones that can and cannot be a missionary. Let's open our Bibles, if you would, quickly into Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, verse 27. Now, I'm looking forward to hearing the preacher preach tonight. The pastor said he was going to preach tonight. I haven't heard him preach in probably 20 years, so I'm hoping you're still planning to preach. Are you? Because you said you were going to say something tonight. No. I was going to share something brief. I'm going to try to keep it brief because I really would love to hear you preach. Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." There's nothing better. What Paul would do when he came back from his missionary journey, he would stand before the congregation and share what great things God had done. Whenever a missionary comes, I always struggle with this. I want to share and I want to encourage the people because they're sacrificially giving, and I want to give a report of what God is doing, but I don't ever want to look like I'm patting myself on the back, because it's nothing I'm doing. I'm just trying to be in God's place, doing what God wants me to do. And I finally came to the point where I said, "Lord, if nothing happens, it's because that's what you had planned. If something does happen, it's what you did." So I never have an opportunity to pat myself on the back. But I want to give a good report. But also, my purpose in visiting churches is to try to get some more missionaries. We're seeing less missionaries. I know in Town East Baptist Church, I think I was the last missionary, and I surrendered to the field in 2000. That's 22 years ago. And we haven't seen anybody in our church surrender. We finally had one about 3 months ago, praise the Lord. But that's too long of a gap. I think we need to see more young people. I love to see all these young people. Y'all got a lot of talent in this church, brother. I mean, preachers and singers and just everything. But we need some more missionaries. And I see four young men right up here. Maybe one of you guys could be a missionary. You know, we complicate the matter. When God called me, I was not a preacher. I was not, in my head, I wasn't a preacher. I was a contractor. I was a layman. I was serving in the church, like many of you guys, Brother Joe. Is your name Joe? You with the beard, the guy with the glass on top, are you Joe? Are you Joe?
You talking about that Brother Joe right there.
Okay. You spoke this morning.
I did, yes, sir.
What's your name?
Joe.
It is Joe. Don't confuse me. I don't know if you got nervous, if you get nervous when you get in before the people. I do too, believe it or not. I still get butterflies, and the pastor's about to call me up. It's like, oh, what am I going to say? I'm going to freak out. You know, God just uses us how we are.
Yes,
when I was serving in the church and you know, Sunday school and all that stuff, and then God told me to go to mission field, I'm thinking, first thing I did, I talked to my dad. Dad, do I need to go off to Bible school? I mean, all the missionaries that I'd ever heard of, you know, they went to a Bible college or seminary or whatever. And I talked to my dad. He said, David, you've been in Bible school for the last 25 years in church.
Oh, yeah.
And so, okay. I mean, my dad was my hero, my hero. And he helped me so much. But what we do in Mexico is so simple. Any of you could do this. And I want to encourage you to consider at least open the door to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever. And it doesn't have to be Mexico. But one thing Brother Milton Martin, a godly missionary, help encourage me to do. He said many times missionaries will go to a country and choose a town. They're going to go and they decide, I'm going to go to that town and I'm going to build a work in that town. He said, why not get a bigger outlook instead of picking one town? How about picking a larger area and sow down that area with scripture, and those areas that respond, then you can focus in there. So that's what we did. Romans 15, another verse. I could just read off my iPad. I'm trying to preach off an iPad. I've been watching some of these preachers preach, and I'm like, what a great idea, but I'm still not used to it. But Romans 15, verse 20 says, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. That's one thing. I think I mentioned that this morning. We decided we're not going to the cities. We're not going to if we go into a rancho or a village where there is a church, we'll just back out and we'll go somewhere else. We want to go where the name of Christ has not been preached. We want to talk to people that don't know who Christ is, what Christ did. They know the name of Christ. I have to back up. They do know the name of Christ. They're raised in the Catholic tradition, and they talk about Christ, and they know that he was born in Bethlehem and all that, the Virgin Mary. But instead of focusing very much on Christ, they focus on the Virgin Mary and focus on the saints and stuff like that. So it's very sad. But what you have to realize as a missionary, if you will consider maybe going to a place like God placed in our heart to go to the state of where? Hey, they're getting it. San Luis Potosí, okay? San Luis Potosí. God put it on our heart to go to the state of San Luis Potosí and sow it down. We're just sowing the seed. Like you guys that have farms, you go out there and you throw the seed out there, and, you know, once it lands on good ground and you're going to see a crop, that's what God placed on our heart. And what we did, it's so simple. You teenagers could do this. We went to the Rand McNally of Mexico. It's called INEGI, and we bought these maps. And if you look at all these maps, you'll see that there's little black dots, and every black dot on these maps represents a house or dwelling. Okay, and so when you see a grouping of dwellings, that's a rancho. Okay, and so when we first started, like I told you, we went to Moctezuma. I'll get these cables all tucked back in here. Okay. We first went to Moctezuma. Like I told you, the missionary called us in and said, unfortunately, my wife got sick. We're going to have to leave. And now it's my wife and I. What are we going to do? Well, we just went out. Like I said, we made these packets. We got packets just like these. I mean, so elementary. A John and Romans and a tract. Because I couldn't talk very much, remember? You remember the word I could say? What was the word I said?
Gift.
Hey, you guys are paying attention. Gift. How do you say gift, though? Regalo, good. Y'all are very smart. Y'all are sharp, okay? And I just said, regalo, regalo, regalo. And they would say something, blah, blah, kind of like Brother Dennis. He went down to Mexico and he said something. And they started blah, blah, blah. You had no idea what they're saying, right? I didn't either. They just said blah, blah, blah. Now I know what they're saying, okay? Praise the Lord. But so simple. You get this. My wife and I got in the car, and on here you can see there's rivers. There's mountains. You can see the mountain, the different levels of the elevation. And you can see little paths. And we just started, well, we want to go there. Well, if we go by that river and then cross over here, we can get there. And many times I had to get on top of my car with my binoculars and looking for a group of houses, for a village. And, oh, it's over there. And then we'd try to find our way out there. One time my dad came down to visit me. He loved Mexico. My dad thought he'd be a missionary in Mexico. I don't know if he told you that. He got saved, went off to Bible college. In Bible college, he was training or preparing to be a missionary in Mexico. And his last year in college, God changed his heart, said, I want you to go to San Antonio, Texas, and start a church and send missionaries. So he didn't want to go to San Antonio. He said, God, send me anywhere but San Antonio. But, you know, God has a sense of humor. So he started a church and been sent out, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to help missionaries. But he loved coming down to visit us. Every summer he'd come down to visit us. And one time he was down to help me, and we were out there, and he saw I was kind of, you know, looking which way to go, and I had to get up in my car again, and I knew it was somewhere close. And he knew about a GPS. I didn't know about GPS. And he said, I think a GPS would help you in this. And he bought me up my first GPS. And so now every morning we go to my map. I have 3 days a week. I've got a big map. I've got an office from about, I've got a wall from about there to about here, I guess. And it's the whole state of San Luis Potosí. All these maps all stuck together. And so we get up in the morning, okay, we're going to go to that area. And so I get the little ruler, find the longitude and the latitude, and type it into my GPS, and they just started heading out. And as that arrow is going like this or like that, I just follow the arrow, and that's how we get to the village. And then I just get out, go house to house, and I just walk up, and what do I say? Regalo. And they accept it. But then now they say, ¿para qué es? And then I get to tell them, ¿para qué es? They're saying, what's it for? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. It's God's word. Can I ask you a question? Sí, claro que sí. ¿Dónde vas a pasar la eternidad? Is that family not here tonight that speaks Spanish? You had another family. You said,
I got a family that does.
But they didn't come.
They're not here.
I was going to see if they, did I say it correct? No, I'll be going tomorrow. But you know what? You can do this. For the first 2 or 3 years, that's about all I could do. I could do that, smile, say regalo, go to the next place, regalo. But you know what? Where is the power? Is the power in what I say? The power in God's word. Hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of houses got God's word. Even though I could not communicate it the way I wanted to, that seed is good. I started out doing this. I told you I went in that basement of that building, saw all these tracks, all these John and Romans. It broke my heart to see those things just sitting there. They brought them down, they restored, but doing no good in those boxes. And so I started going out and giving out these. But in June, July, August, we have rainy season. And so about 2, 3, 4 o'clock, it's changed since I've been when I. It's changed since I tend to try to talk fast. It aggravates me. I've got to stop myself, okay? See, God uses crazy people. I'm kind of crazy, all right? We're not all polished like Brother Dennis. Now that guy, he's good, okay? But I stumble over my words. I make all sorts of mistakes. But you know what? God can use me.
Amen.
And he can use all of us with our weaknesses, okay? But I started going out, and as I'd leave, 2 or 3 o'clock, it'd build up and start raining. And I thought, man, I left some of these at a house, and now it's raining. They're going to get wet. I started feeling bad about it. And then one day I was in a little tienda there, a little store there in Moctezuma, and I saw the ladies with bags like this. They were putting about a half a kilo of rice or beans or whatever in there. Then they would fold it up like that, and then pass it right in front of a candle, and that would seal it. I thought, what a great idea. I can put the things inside there, seal them, and start leaving them. And that's what I started doing. So now we seal them. We don't do it with the candle. That takes too long. I got smart. I'm a gringo, okay? I bought a sealer. So I fill it, and I just stamp that sucker down. It's sealed. It's ready to go. But just going house to house, you could do that. I bet you could do that. Can you reach your hand out and set it there? Okay. Maybe God will use you to be a missionary. You like adventure? This is a great ministry for people that like adventure. I love adventure. Every day, I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what road I'm going to cross, what mountain I'm going to go over, what river I'm going to go through. We've gone through some things, and My wife, a couple of times, she's been a little afraid, but she, I mean, and I've been a little afraid. I remember going down, one time I was going down a river. Like I said, I knew the village was over there. I had to get there, and I went down this river, and we're driving on this gravel river, a dry river, and just got the walls of the river, and I'm driving and driving, and the walls of the river got higher and higher, and I thought, have I entered one of these, like a box canyon where I'm never going to get out? And I'm, whoa. I told you, God will use anybody. Wow, who put that there? But hey, God will use anybody, all right? I want to encourage you, seriously. We got a lot of young folk in here. I was y'all's age. Like I said, I was 44, all right? Had my life all planned, all set. I'd been working in painting and roofing for about 22 years. I had a travel trailer. I had 5 acres of land. I had my kids. We were homeschooling our kids. Everything was going great. And I was serving the Lord. And then God just said, okay, I got something else for you. And so please don't ever just shut the door to the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, that's for those young folks, you know. Many of the young folk are not responding. I'm seeing more and more. I've got a missionary that came over to Mexico from the Philippines. And he's 40, 43. And God called him to be a missionary. It's like maybe God's calling the young ones, and the young ones aren't responding. So God said, okay, I need some 30-year-olds. I need some 40-year-olds. I need some 50-year-olds. And so maybe there's a 30 or 40 or 50-year-old here in this church that is willing to be used with your weaknesses, with your whatever, because, you know, there's places all over the world that do not know who Christ is and what Christ has done. And that's why we're here, just like that song, that song that was sung. Are you going to have anything to present to the Lord when you stand before him? We're not here to just take up space and breathe air like that song said. We're here for a purpose, and that's to tell other people and to take people with us to heaven. We've got the answer. So easy that you can do it. I want to share a quick report. As I read, I said in Acts 14, and when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done. I just wanted to share, I think I told you this morning, we've been 1,673 ranchos up to this point. I thought in my head that I would be able to do all this. When I found out there were 6,731 ranchos, I thought, okay, I'm 44. I looked at my dad. I always compared my health and all that. Okay, my dad has been active, and my grandfather lived to be 90, and okay, I'll probably live to be about 90, and my grandfather, he was pretty much active till 85, 86, so I'm calculating all these numbers in my head. Okay, I'm 44, I could probably work to about 85. Okay, there's 6,731 villages divided by 40 years. I mean, that was how some people laugh at me when they thought, really, you really think that way, David? I thought that way. I wanted to get the gospel to every creature. And I thought if the very least what I can do is leave a gospel track at somebody's house, that's good enough. Well, one thing I didn't realize was, or I didn't think about, again, dumb gringo. No, not dumb gringo, dumb David, okay? I realized I'm not going to do that 7 days a week because you come across people that are interested. Well, now you got to kind of put the brakes on, and now you got to spend some time with that family because you want to disciple them and maybe groups of people, and so that slowed things down. So I've realized now there's no way. What we do right now, folks, we dedicate 3 days a week, 3 days a week, 3 days a week, okay? 3 days a week to go to new ranchos. That's kind of why. Here's our week. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we go to brand new ranchos, all right? I look at my map, okay, and right now we're driving an hour and a half to 2 hours, sometimes 2.5 hours to get to these different areas, okay? So 3 days a week. We go to brand new areas, like you'd call cold calls, I guess. But we just drive out there and just start going house to house, witnessing to people. We get to talk to a lot of people, okay? 3 days a week we do that. And then we have 2 days where we go back and we're discipling people that we have made contacts with. And we have Bible studies with those people in these different ranchos. They're all spread out. It's not like Applebee or Nacogdoches or whatever. I mean, I'll have like a Bible study over there, and then an hour over there, and then 45 minutes over there. So it's all spread out. So we dedicate 2 days to doing Bible studies, and then we have 1 day off, and then 2 days we actually have services. Okay, one of these overlaps the Bible studies and services, but that's kind of what our week is like. So that's why we've been able to reach the 1,600. But I realize now I need to recruit some new guys. Maybe split our state in half, and we'll do one half, and they'll do the other half, or whatever. So, if you have an interest, if you have maybe just an inkling, like this might be something that God wants me to do, I would invite you down. Like I said, you can fly down, or you can take a bus down, and you can spend 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days, and you just follow me and just see what we do, and you'll see how, you know, it's not so complicated. So often we think, well, I can't be a missionary because, you know, whatever idea you have of, as what you whatever idea you have of a missionary, it just seems so out there. And you'll see when you go with me, this isn't out there. This is just right down on the bottom level. I can do this. So if you're interested in it, talk to me after church, or you have my prayer card on the back. It's got my email. You can send me an email, okay? But I praise the Lord that we've been being able to go to that many ranchos. We've been able to start a number of, let me look at the time. Man, the time goes by. Giving a report, I want to give you a report because you're part of this, folks. You know, one day you're going to receive a reward for what you've done, and you're going to get a reward for how you've made it possible for me and daughter to do what we're doing, you know, fruit that abounds to your account. Okay, so I want to give you a report, like a stock report. Many times my dad would talk about when you have a missions conference, it's basically you're getting together and the people that you've been supporting is giving a stock report. You've been investing in them, and they're coming, and they're telling you how the work is going, how the stock is doing, you know. So that's basically one thing I wanted to come by. I asked your pastor, I'd love to come by. Really, number one, I want to say thank you for 12 years, I want to say. I think it's 2011, I think, around 2011. So for 12 years, y'all been faithfully supporting us. And a couple of times, y'all sent us gift boxes. I mean, one time, y'all sent us a couple of candles and a couple of boxes of tea, because at that time, we couldn't get tea, and I like iced tea, and just a number of things. So just extra kindnesses that y'all done for me. So I wanted to come by and say personally, thank you very much, because I know, I mean, there's a lot of missionaries, there's a lot of ministries that are good, and it's hard to keep track of, you know, all their needs and pray for all of them. So I wanted to get some FaceTime with you guys. So first of all, thank you for what you're doing. Let me share some of what your money, what your sacrificial giving has done. We've been allowed to start missions, about 7 missions. Basically what we do as far as a mission, maybe you don't understand the terminology I'm using, but when we go into these villages and we witness, or we have a vacation Bible school or whatever, it's always with the intention of starting a church, okay? But many, many times you'll spend maybe a year or 2 years and you start a mission. A mission, basically, you're having a regular service every 7 days, every week or whatever. And then hopefully you'll find some man in that area, maybe a man of the church, and start training him and leave him behind. And that's now it's a church. But meanwhile, it's a mission. Okay, so we've been allowed to start about 7 missions, and we have 2 churches right now. We ordained Brother Lupillo in 1 church in Cerro Gordo, and he and his wife Bibiana, and then the most recent church is in Bledels. I know if you read our letters, some of these names may sound familiar. I don't want to trip over this thing again. In Bledels, we just turned that over to the men, Mariano and Martin. And the church is growing. They've got anywhere from 30 to 40 on their Friday night services and their Sunday services. So that's all fruit that abounds to your account. But it all starts with just somebody saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me with my, you know, the way I am, and just going out and preaching the gospel. So we want to share that. And want to share, let me see. Look on my list here. We've been trying to raise awareness. We've been visiting a number of the Mexican churches, and now I've got a number of men. Like I told you this morning, used to be my wife would go with me. It's my wife and I. And then after about 17 years, it got too painful for her. And so God has given me about 6 men that are now going with me to go and and do discipleship classes or evangelizing. So God, it's amazing. Whenever my wife could no longer go with me, I've been praying for years that God would send somebody from our church to come down and help us. You know, we always think we got it figured out how God is going to do it. But God used another way, and I think it's even a better way, that God has given me some Mexican men in these different areas to go with me. But if you come down, you could see the work personally. Pray for brother. Your pastor was asking about prayer requests. Pray for these names. You may not remember all of them, but if you would just remember one or two of them, Javier, Heidel, Rafael, Jeremias, and Mario. That's five names. I'll just give the five names. Those are five of the men that are helping me, okay? Mario is the easiest one, okay? That's a video game, I think, Mario, okay? But they're going with me, and they're getting excited about this work. They're part of a church in a city, but when I invited them to go with me, they got all excited. They didn't realize that, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of like, I guess we're the same way. They didn't realize the opportunities in the villages. So often in the city, they try to visit, and people tend to be a little more cold in the city. And so they've been going with me, and they see out in the ranchos that people are much more open. They give you time. They're not in a rush. They're country folks. And so you have much more opportunity to sit and just visit and talk about whatever and then present Christ. So pray for these five men that they'll start going on their own. I've got two of the men I left behind, and they're going on their own right now. They are calling me, and last week they went to visit one lady. Her husband passed away, and they're just kind of giving me a report. But this is all indigenous work. I'm not paying anybody to do any of this work. I don't pay pastors or whatever. These are men that, have their own work, but then they're volunteering their time. So anyway, just mainly wanted to give a report, a short report. First of all, how easy the ministry is. Try to get somebody interested in maybe doing it or coming down and seeing the work personally, and maybe God will send you to, Singapore or Indonesia or whatever, and do something similar to this. Because one day, and it's going to come like that. I mean, I'm 60, I'll be 65 in June. It seemed like just yesterday I was 30, and here I am 65 years old. That's how our life, it just goes by so fast. And what are we going to have to present to our Lord? He doesn't care about our cars and trucks and houses. He cares about souls, okay? And praise the Lord, if God wants you to be here, a faithful member of this church, serving this church, and supporting and sending missionaries, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not trying to tell you, because you don't go to the mission field, you're not in God's will. I'm not saying that. But if God wants you to go to the mission field, don't try to placate God, say, God, I'm supporting missions, okay? God wants you to do what he wants you to do. So I just want you to encourage, I want to encourage you folks just to find out what God has for your life and do it. All right? Is that simple enough?
Simple enough.
All right, simple enough. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you once again for this wonderful privilege to be in this church. Thank you for Brother Dennis, Lord, for his faithfulness 28 years in this place. And thank you for this great group of people, Father, that have been faithful to come on a Sunday night to hear your word proclaimed and to sing songs to praise you. Thank you for them. Bless him and bless Brother Dennis. We'll ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor?
All right. All right. God bless you, Brother David. Very good. You can make your way back there in front of your little podium place with them. Pick you up a prayer card and be sure to tell him thank you. Be sure to get that microphone away from him, too. We don't want him hauling that off. Yes, sirree. That's all right. He's getting it off now. Let's not lose focus on that. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you very much. All right. Let's stand to our feet and so get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. We bless the Lord for the good to report. And he'd called the other day. I've never heard him preach one time before that he came. I was just thrilled that I didn't have to run him off for having a ponytail or long hair down, I mean, I hadn't seen him in I don't know when. I kept looking at his mission letters and stuff like that. But that's happened more than once. I've had a preacher show up a great evangelist, and he had one of them Southern Baptist hairdos over his ears and this and that. And I had sent him down the road. That was in Louisiana. Since here now, most of the brethren are mad because they like to use the singing group, and as these kids get older, they want to grow that little long hair, and one of, and all it takes is one, and your group's done here. I don't mean to be ugly. I'm just saying, if it was wrong back then, it's wrong right now. God bless you. Thank you very much. And so anyhow, that's a good deal. Let's get ready to pray and ask God to bless us as we get ready to go.